Well, on a brighter note,
commercial break.
The government has now banned the carrying
somehow,
of spears.
Somehow, the freedom to inform the general public has become the exclusive right of media corporations.
It was a place where everything was legal.
I met this woman.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional help.
Thank you for joining us live on the air.
My pleasure.
One nation under God has turned into one nation under the influence of one drug.
Turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of the sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off. Turn them off and leave them off.
Ja, så sitter vi her igjen, Stian. Radiofri.com. Og vi har virkelig tenkt å ta en titt på. Vi har litt ansvar her, vi tross alt en mediekanal. En radiokanal og en formidler. Så i dag tar vi en titt på media.
Altså, mainstream media tar vi en titt på. Alternativ media, det bra, det liker vi. Det blir større. Og mainstream media går nedover. De skjønner ikke selv hvorfor.
Jeg hørte faktisk på mainstream media her i dag eller i går at folk ser mindre og mindre på TV. Det jo positivt.
Ja, hør på det. Skru av TV.
Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off.
These commercial entities now vie with the government for authority over our lives. They are not a healthy counterweight to government. They are as big as or bigger than government, and they work closely with government.
The most powerful special interest in Washington today is the media, because not only do they give money and lobby and do all the things that industries do in Washington and companies do, but they, of course, control whether or not a politician's mug gets on the tube. Now, that's power. That's the ultimate power in a political realm, is controlling perceptions. '60s, 3 in 4 Americans trusted their government. Today, it's 1 in 4 Americans trust the government. The level of secrecy and the amount of money in our process is greater than it's ever been. Archibald Cox, a Watergate prosecutor I interviewed for our book, The Buying of the President 2000, said the level of trust in this country is worse than he's ever seen it, including during Watergate. People sense, I think, that the financial elites and the political elites have become one and the same, and that the people themselves have no voice in Washington or in their state capitals, that they are somehow being left behind.
When we think about democracy in the United States, we oftentimes, and I think certainly in our media culture and our political culture, the assumption is that the type of democracy we have in the United States is the only type that could possibly exist. It's the high watermark of the human race is capable of, is U.S.-style democracy. In fact, though, I think we have, both in theory and in many ways in practice, a fairly, what you call, a weak democracy. I mean, in fact, in many ways, we have a frighteningly weak democracy.
We falsely think of our country as a democracy when it has evolved into a mediaocracy, where a media that is supposed to check political abuse is part of a political abuse.
We have a situation in which a significant percentage of the population doesn't vote, doesn't care about the issues, is tuned out entirely, is what we call depoliticized. In fact, we have a rate of depoliticization in the United States that must make a tyrant like in, you know, Indonesia envious. They say, how can I get one of these vegged out populations?
More instant access to information as consumers and as citizens than we've ever had in the history of the country. that does not necessarily mean we're better informed. And that's a fascinating irony by itself.
You know, in the last days of the Soviet Union, you had dozens of newspapers, dozens of magazines, all kinds of radio and television stations. The only problem is that all of that media was controlled by the Communist Party of the Soviet Union or the government of the Soviet Union. We are moving in that direction.
There is an illusion of choice that's maintained when you can have 100 channels on your cable system, and how many movies do the studios release a year now? All these different studios, and the music industry with so many labels, and magazine stands that go on and on and on forever. Well, the owners are a handful of 5-6 different companies.
So there you go. You know my problem? I watch too much news, man. That's my problem. That's why I'm so depressed all the time. I figured it out. I watch too much CNN, man. I don't know if you've ever sat around and watched CNN longer than, say, 20 hours in one day. I don't recommend that. Watch CNN headline news for 1 hour. It's the most depressing thing you'll ever fucking do. War, famine, death, AIDS, homeless, recession, depression. War, famine, death, AIDS, homeless. Then you look out your window. Where's all this shit happening? Ted Turner's making this shit up, man. Jane Fonda won't sleep with him. He runs to a typewriter. By 1992, we will all die of AIDS. Read that on the air. I don't get laid. No one gets laid. I'm right, Jane Fonda. Will you fuck this guy so we can get some good news, please? I want to see a well-laid Ted Turner newscast. Hey, it's all going to work out. Here's sports.
Rupert Murdoch. You all know Rupert? Right. Rupert is one of the smartest and most dangerous people in this country.
Rupert Murdoch is the primary owner of the News Corporation. In the United States, he owns the Fox News Network. But Murdoch's media empire is global. Among his many holdings is a satellite TV service in partnership with the Chinese. Just as he gave a huge book deal to Newt Gingrich, Murdoch gave the supreme Chinese leader's daughter a book contract to write a biography of her father.
Well, if I'm going to get my book published in your capitalist society, I have to find a capitalist to publish it. Regardless of whether it's one of Mr. Murdoch's companies or not.
The nature of what used to be considered a bribe has morphed into a quid pro quo, an indirect payment, and it's legal.
We have massive problems with what is I call legal corruption all over America, where the system has been gamed by various powerful interests, and it's all disclosed, of course. Of course, no one reads it, and the media doesn't generally report it. Don't get me started. And so this is a wink and nod exercise with rampant corruption, and the American people kind of actually, in a very interesting way, viscerally understand that things are corrupt.
I was a producer at 60 Minutes and worked in network television for 11 years, ABC and CBS, 60 Minutes, and I was an investigative reporter for those places. And I quit one day. My story led the show. I quit because the idea of everything being simplified down to good guys and bad guys and, the formulaic infotainment thing was getting a little old for me. I decided that I didn't want anybody telling me what to investigate, and I was going to decide myself what to investigate, and I was going to take as long as I needed, not 2 weeks, to solve a 20-year-old unsolved murder. Today, we're up to 35 people. it's, knock on wood, been very exciting, but that's how I got here. So. You have this contracting of ambition about what should be covered and what the public has right to know about. The price of power in Washington, who really makes money and who really benefits from the decisions. What will pass for investigative reporting is though someone may get a hold of an early report from some committee that's about to come out, or an inspector general's report that's going to castigate the secretary of this or that. And so you'll breathlessly go on the air and, you know, you'll say ABC News has learned or whatever the network is, and you'll be out of breath and it's all exciting. You're holding up a report and it'll look like the faceless minions that comprise the network, hundreds of them out there ferreting information out for you to serve the public. It's complete bunkum, of course. It's not happening at all. The public would never know from the media that they spent $11 million to keep any free airtime provisions out of any legislation, successfully, by the way.
Edward Fritz, head of the National Association of Broadcasters, called free airtime for candidates unconstitutional and an infringement on the broadcasters' free speech rights.
You have reached the stage in American politics, and I'm not kidding you, where the issue is not a debate over ideas. You have a point of view, I have a point of view. Who should that person support? That's what democracy is about. The issue is whether ideas at all matter. You look like a nice fellow. Nice wife. You have any kids?
Yeah, two.
Okay. Why wouldn't I want to vote for you?
One of the strange things about it is that politics is now presented in terms of politicians and not politics. I don't think the media are interested in politics. They're interested in politicians, which is a wholly different subject.
Media corporations don't cover the news when it comes to politics anymore. The political news coverage in 2000 was half what it was in 96. 96 was half what it was in 92. The third leading source of revenue for the media today, broadcast media, happens to be political ads. So if you're a politician, the only way you get heard is with ads. In 1981, the media was getting $80 million from political campaigns for ads. Today, the last campaign, they got $1 billion. That's why you've got to have millions of dollars to run for office as a politician. You're either a millionaire, you're able to raise large sums of money all day, dolling for dollars, and that's who goes into politics. And you are complicit in the system. You're not going to rock the boat.
You know, 98% of those who run for Congress, who run again, get elected, get reelected. We have a 98% return rate in Congress. Are you aware of this? You know, I looked up the statistic. The old Soviet Politburo had a 92% return rate. All right? They actually have more turnover than we have in the U.S. Congress. Is that just the most embarrassing thought? Why do we do this? We've got to change these laws.
We grant these monopoly rights to TV stations. They don't pay a penny to the people for getting these monopoly rights to TV frequencies. Then they turn around and sell time on the public property and make billions of dollars and destroy our political system. All the while, they pay off the politicians themselves to keep getting these monopoly rights. The corruption here is dreadful.
The public is really at a loss. What do you do about that exactly? I'm not quite sure. I mean, they're probably in a perfect world, there should be a citizens' movement about this. People should be marching in the streets. I mean, in some ways, we should be as angry about what's happened to our media as the Russians ought to be about what happened to their media. Now, that would be seen as heresy inside the networks. How dare you? We covered stories all the time last week. Look at this story. Look at that story. They would take issue with what I just said.
They'd probably call you un-American.
They would call me un-American and a bomb thrower, and I probably won't be on any of their airwaves anymore after this interview. So what we have here is not the sunlight of democracy, but the dark, ominous shadows of totalitarianism, despotism, fascism.
Og nå kommer Simon med Lament.
According to Joan Didion, news is no longer just reported, but managed in a way that sets its terms and shapes its overall content. Has the mainstream media become an anti-democratic force in the United States?
What you want to say is, if you have a self-governing society, a democratic society, what does that society need from its journalism? What are the attributes you need to have from your journalism, from your media system to produce, so that people can govern their own lives effectively? And I think there are, you know, two or three things that jump out at you if you study the matter at all. And they're really not debated. One, you need a really hard watchdog. You need a journalism that keeps track of people in power and people who want to be in power.
Hitler says in Mein Kampf that the people's power of forgetting is enormous. This is the case with mass society, right? You have to have a healthy media system in order to counteract that natural tendency. You've got to have that, because then people will be sufficiently roused by the notion of having to protect their interests to pay attention. Otherwise, if it's just a spectacle, you know, if it's just a bunch of razzle-dazzle and bullshit, people will naturally, you know, forget about it in a couple of days, and that's the pickle that Americans tend to be in.
A CNN Gallup poll conducted in March 2003 found that 51% of the American people thought Saddam Hussein was personally responsible for the September 11th attack. Why did they think that?
Forget about forgetting. They don't know. They don't know. I picked up my local paper today. Yesterday there was a vote in the House of Representatives which would, if it carries into law, provide hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to a handful of families in this country. Wasn't mentioned in the newspaper.
Ten years ago, 50 companies ran the media in America. Now it's down to 5 to 7.
Many people are not aware that when you watch television, you are watching a program produced by a large multinational corporation that has enormous conflicts of interest.
General Electric and NBC is a perfect example. How can we be sure we're going to get the kind of information we need to have about the nuclear industry, about defense contracts, and all of those things when NBC is beholden to this parent company? Why would they report on that? Of course they wouldn't. Why would ABC report on what's going on at Disney? They wouldn't. There's no point in it. And it's precisely for that reason that those companies want to own television stations in the first place, so that they can keep a check on those sorts of things.
General Electric has made it a very proud part of their policies that they are going to move jobs from the United States of America to China, to Mexico, any place in the world where they can get cheap labor. This suggests, obviously, that General Electric is deeply concerned about our trade policies. Over the years, General Electric has done its best not to pay taxes or to pay as little as they can in taxes, taking advantage of all kinds of corporate welfare tax loopholes. Suggests very strongly that General Electric has an interest in tax policy. General Electric is a major polluter. Therefore, they're concerned about weakening environmental policies. It's not obviously just General Electric. It's the same thing with CBS or ABC. The conflicts of interest are enormous, and the result is that certain issues are talked about, certain issues are not talked about.
Vi er ikke her for å utdanne. Vi er ikke her for å si hva dere skal tenke eller tro. Vi er her for å så frø bystedene deres. Sånn at dere får øye opp.
Neida. Det var bra, bra sagt, Evin. Hvis dere lurer på hva som skjer, så er det bare å lese VG. Det står jo der, på vår side. Det jo War, Death, Famine, AIDS. Faen, sjekk akkurat VG. Det bare... Bare til. Faen ikke noe nyheter.
Ta fram pikken. runk som et helvete.
Exactly right.
Ok. Men det som litt artig også, sannheten ligger jo inni deg selv også. Hvis du greier å høre på deg selv.
Exactly right.
Langt, langt inn I øvelsen da. Ja, den der det. Men det så jævlig mye støy, vet du. Det nesten ikke, det var det egentlig hit på.
Støy, altså du...
I had a point to make and a question. First, with government control, I have been listening to Coast for a number of years, and one thing, and I'm sure your audience members would agree, is that every night when I listen to Coast, the next day when I wake up, there's no news, nothing. It's like so many things are stated in the show, and the next day, we never read about it. We never hear anything about it.
Mainstream media won't cover it.
And this is over years. Not ever have they covered it.
No, and they never will cover it, because what they do is they snigger and laugh in a superior manner and say that those of us who consider ideas like this are just slightly deranged and crazy. This is also part of the mind control system. But what I do have hope, because I do see, just in my personal experience in daily life, the people I meet, I see more and more people who are questioning the whole basis of consensual reality that our government foisted upon us, who are outraged and angry and not accepting it. The internet is an enormous instrument at the level of consciousness for people to share ideas that will not be considered in the mainstream media. So really, we should never expect the mainstream media to cover stuff like this, because they are part of the mind control system, absolutely part of it.
Do you think that Coast to Coast being a nighttime program actually feeds to the government? Because if it was a daytime program, this would not be happening. But here you have 25 million listeners and nothing comes out.
Well, but what's coming out is at the level of consciousness that people are changing their lives and changing the way that they look at the world. And as that groundswell builds, let's not expect it to happen overnight. It's going to take time. But as that groundswell builds, it becomes more and more irresistible. And eventually we reach a level of critical mass where the whole society turns in a different direction and rejects utterly the lies and the falsehoods that have been foisted on them for so long by their government. And maybe that moment is not so far away as we think.
I'll tell you what the mainstream media will cover from the show. If, for example, a group of people who think that some sort of spacecraft is following a comet decide to go out and commit suicide, the mainstream media thinks that they can pin it on a program like this. They go after it like attack dogs. Turns out they couldn't.
They go after it like attack dogs. They will use everything they can to discredit this line of thinking, and that's what we have to resist. We have to resist it as individuals at the grassroots level. We have to remember that our governments lie to us all the time. I think it's really important realization that when you hear a statement from a government, 9 times out of 10, there's going to be an untruth in that statement if you really examine it closely. You know, we have to do that, and we have to realize that very clever, very effective propaganda techniques are used to structure the way we think, even to provide us with certain language that stops us thinking in other ways.
Your cell phone, your wallet, your time, your ideas, no barcode, no party, no ID, no beers, your bank card, your license, your thoughts, your fears, no SIM card, no disco, no photo, not here, your blood, your sweat, your passions, your regrets, your profits, your time off, your fashions, your sex, your pills, your grass, your tits, your ass, your laughs, your balls, we won't,
we want your soul.
Your house, your cash, your house, your
phone. We want your soul.
Your house, your cash, your house, your
your habits, your fads, your fears. Give us your address, your shoe size, your years, your digits, your plans, your number, your eyes, your schedule, your desktop, your details, your life. Show us your children, your photos, your home. Here, take credit, take insurance, take a loan. Get a job, get a pension, get a haircut, get a suit. Play the lottery, play football, play the field, or some toot. We'll show you shrink, we'll show you soup, we'll buy you drinks, throw away your book. We'll sell you crap, we'll charge you debt. Wanna buy big guns, we'll front up cash. Your love, your dreams, your checkbook, your essence, your sweat, your screams, your security, your sobriety, your innocence, your society, yourself, your place, your distance, your space.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here, watch this. Shut up. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
Matters. Here's Britney, here's cola, here's pizza, here's TV, here's some rock, and some roller. Watch commercials, more commercials, watch Jerry, not Oprah. Buy a better life, from the comfort of your sofa. Here's popcorn, here's magazines, here's milkshake, here's blue jeans, here's padded bars, here's armpit wax, here's football shirt, here's baseball cap, here's live talk shows, here's video games, here's cola life, here's tin morning, here's filter tips, here's college minutes, here's all night long, here's plastic tips.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here's American Gladiators. Watch this. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Here is American Gladiators. Here is 56 channels of it. Watch these pituary retards bang their fucking skulls together and congratulate you on living in the land of freedom. Here you go, America. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
Everybody knows about Enron and how the guys at the top managed to cash out very handsomely while preventing the pensioners from withdrawing their money in time to prevent complete ruin, financial ruin. Well, I mean, there's a history behind this, you know. George Bush, who is, of course, a good friend of Kenneth Lay, cashed out in exactly the same way, you know, as a major shareholder in Harkin.
According to the Center for Public Integrity, George Bush served on the Harkin Energy's board and was able to realize a huge profit of $848,000 by selling his stock in the corporation. Harkin had concealed its losses by selling some of the firm's assets to a group of insiders and declaring a profit. Shortly after he sold, the stock price plummeted. He reported the sale to the SEC 34 weeks late. Bush was on the audit committee and the restructuring committee. He claimed he didn't know.
I propose some tough new standards for corporate reform. Like you all, I took a look out there and saw a problem. And the problem was we had some folks who were trying to fudge the numbers. We had some people who decided they weren't going to tell the truth when it came to their assets and liabilities.
The Harkin inside trading story was reported by the Center for Public Integrity 7 months before the presidential election. But the mainstream media chose not to report the story.
The Israeli-Palestinian conflict dominates American news coverage of international issues. Given that news coverage is Americans' main source of information on the conflict, it becomes important to examine the stories the news media are telling us and to ask the question, Does the news coverage reflect the reality on the ground?
Young battles rage tonight in some of the heaviest.
A battle for survival.
One of the things you have to keep in mind when you're looking at how media report on something like the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is not only understanding what's there in the story, but more importantly, what's not there, what's being left out. In that sense, absence is as vital as presence in terms of how people make sense of the story. Context is everything.
The context that's often missing from the current reporting is that the Palestinian uprising is a revolt against the 34-year-long occupation. And if there's no occupation in the story, then the story doesn't really make sense, and the occupation is frequently missing.
A typical TV news report, for example, on, you know, ABC News, will show dramatic pictures of these confrontations where Palestinians are confronting Israeli troops and the Israeli troops are responding.
But Friday saw more clashes in Hebron between stone-throwing Palestinian youths and Israeli soldiers armed with
For most Americans who don't understand the history of the conflict, this is an example of riots that are going on where the authorities are taking measures to crack down. What's not mentioned is the fact that these confrontations are taking place on occupied territory, that the Israeli troops who are there are defending an occupation that doesn't have any international legitimacy, that's illegal.
The American media, they are concentrating only on the deeds, on the violence, and not on the reasons, and not on the basic facts of occupation.
Israeli troops were pelted with stones, and they responded with tear gas and rubber bullets.
This is not presented as an army using its arsenal against young people who are largely unarmed and who are protesting because of the occupation, the siege, the total oppression of a whole nation.
The lack of context is so dramatic that only 4% of the network news reports on the occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip mention that the West Bank and Gaza Strip are occupied.
The Israeli military sends its troops into the occupied territories to defend what is considered an illegal occupation. And when the population there resists, Israel is presented as being under attack.
Israel was responding to an attack today.
Israel has beefed up forces following a Palestinian mortar attack.
They don't present it as saying Israel is the aggressor, Israel is killing people on their own land, in their own homes as an occupier. But no, Israel is defending itself.
To Sharon, the West Bank invasion is simple self-defense.
The Israeli Prime Minister reiterated Israel's right to self-defense.
Israel's basic posture is anything but defensive. Israel is the only country in the world right now which, in contravention to UN Security Council resolutions, maintains tens of thousands of heavily armed troops outside its borders in somebody else's country for the sole purpose of taking their land away from them and in the process forcing them to live under the worst form of tyranny imaginable, which is a foreign military dictatorship.
The tanks, the gunships, the snipers, they are all on Palestinian land. And I don't see why they have to protect themselves on our land if they're occupying our land. That context is always missing.
A crowd throwing stones and homemade stun grenades at the soldiers, the troops opening fire, killing two Palestinians and injuring...
So even when Israel is busy murdering people in cold blood, it is always presented as part of the self-defense mechanism of Israel.
When Israel in the occupied territories now claim that they have to defend themselves, they are defending themselves in the sense that any military occupier has to defend itself against the population they're crushing.
Prime Minister Ariel Sharon justified the siege as self-defense.
You can't defend yourself when you're militarily occupying somebody else's land. That's not defense. Call it what you like, it's not defense.
88419.
We'll be right back.
morning. I strongly dissent to this decision because today the Federal Communications Commission empowers America's new media elite with unacceptable levels of influence over the ideas and information upon which our society and our democracy depend. At issue is whether a few corporations will be ceded enhanced gatekeeper control over the civil dialogue of our country, more content control over our music, entertainment, and information, and veto power over what the majority of our families watch, read, and hear. Radio deregulation gives us powerful and relevant lessons. When Congress and the Commission remove radio concentration protections, we experience massive and largely unforeseen consequences. Diversity of programs suffered. Homogenized music and standardized programming crowded out local and regional talent. Creative local artists found it ever more difficult to obtain playtime. Editorial opinion polarized. Competition in many towns became non-existent as a few companies bought up virtually every station in the market. This experience ought to terrify us as we consider visiting upon television and newspapers what we have inflicted upon radio. The decision allows the giant media companies to buy up the remaining local newspaper and exert massive influence over a community by wielding 3 TV stations, 8 radio stations, the cable operator, plus the already monopolistic newspaper. The decision further allows the already massive television networks to buy up even more local TV stations so that they could control up to an unbelievable 80 or 90% of the national television audience. Where are the blessings of localism, diversity, and competition? I see centralization, not localism. I see uniformity, not diversity. I see monopoly and oligopoly, not competition. Percent of the top cable channels are owned by the same giants that own the TV networks and the cable systems. More channels are great, but when they're all owned by the same people, cable doesn't advance localism, editorial diversity, and competition. And those who believe the internet alone will save us from this fate should realize that the dominating internet news sources are controlled by the same media giants who control radio, TV, newspapers, and cable.
I refuse to pour 1 ounce of cement to support a structure that dictates to the American people what they should watch, listen to, or think.
Public reaction against the proposed changes has been unlike anything the FCC has ever seen. Of the nearly 750,000 comments we have received, nearly all oppose increased media consolidation, over 99.9%.
During the Clinton administration in 1996, behind closed doors, the rules of the airwaves were rewritten. In radio, all regulation was literally thrown out. Small independent stations were bought up. Localism disappeared. Companies like Clear Channel went from owning a few stations to owning over 1,100 and dominating whole markets. But something else happened. Under Reagan, in 1987, the Fairness Doctrine was eliminated. Radio and TV stations were no longer required to air opposing viewpoints. This is partially responsible for the rise of right-wing radio, all the time, from coast to coast. The vice chairman of Clear Channel is Tom Hicks. In 1998, Mr. Hicks purchased the Texas Rangers baseball team in a deal that made President Bush a multimillionaire. Clear Channel banned Dixie Chick songs because the lead singer criticized the president on the run-up to the war.
A famous middle-aged rock and roller called me last week to thank me for speaking out against the war, only to go on to tell me that he could not speak himself because he fears repercussions from Clear Channel. They promote our concert appearances, he said. They own most of the stations that play our music. I can't come out against this war.
Sak som skjedde denne uka her, jo at det nå viser seg at BBC har synske evner. De kan rapportere ting før det skjer. Det som skjedde var at 11. september så rapporterte BBC at World Trade Center 7 hadde kollapset en halvtime før det faktisk skjedde. En 47 etasjers høy bygning, 10 etasjer høy Norskeplassa, kollapset oppå seg selv, helt symmetrisk. Og det visste BBC en halvtime før, så det litt mistenkelig da. BBC har jo nå blitt nødt til å gå ut offentlig og prøve å forklare seg, men jeg skal legge ut linken her så folk kan lese det selv. De graver sin egen grav, for å si det sånn. Og norske medier jo ikke interessert i å høre om det her. Jeg har kontaktet, tipset, det stort sett det som aviser I Norge. De har ikke hørt en dritt tilbake. Ikke overrasket. Jeg kan legge ut litt info om det. Kjempestor grei på nettet, 100 000 vis av folk som har sett det på YouTube.
Under the influence of one drug. Television, the drug of a nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of a nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. TV, its satellite links are United States of unconsciousness. Apathetic, therapeutic, and extremely addictive. The methadone metronome, pumping out 150 channels 24 hours a day. You can flip through all of them, and still there's nothing worth watching. TV is the reason why less than 10% of our nation reads books daily. Why most people think Central America means Kansas. Socialism means un-American, and apartheid is the new headache remedy. Absorbed in its world, it's so hard to find us. It shapes our minds the most. Maybe the mother of our nation should remind us that we're sitting too close to the television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. TV is a stomping ground for political candidates. Where bears in the woods are chased by Grecian formed bald eagles. TV is mechanized politics, remote control over the masses. Co-sponsored by environmentally safe gases. Watch for the PBS special. It's a perpetuation of the two-party system. Where image takes precedence over wisdom. Where soundbite politics are served to the fast food culture. Where straight teeth in your mouth are more important than the words that come out of it. Race baiting is the way to get selected
Willie Horton or will he not get elected on television? The drug of a nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
On the screen is an address where you can mail your tithe offering or gift of love.
Okay, got the idea? All right, now let's practice it.
Is it the reflector or the director? Does it imitate us or do we imitate it? Because a child watches 1,500 murders before he's 12 years old. And then we wonder why we created a Jason generation that learns to laugh rather than abhor the whore. TV is a place where armchair generals and quarterbacks can experience firsthand the excitement of video warfare as the theme song is sung in the background. Sugar-sweet sitcoms that leave us with a bad actor taste, while pop stars metamorphosize into soda pop stars. You saw the video, you heard the soundtrack. Well, now go buy the soft drink. Well, the only cola that I support would be a Union COLA cost of living allowance on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. Back again, new and improved, we return to our irregularly programmed schedule, hidden cleverly between heavy-breasted beer and car commercials. CNN, ESPN, ABC, BCB, TNT, but mostly BS, where oxymoronic language, like virtually spotless, fresh, frozen, light, yet filling, and military intelligence have become standard. TV is a place where phrases are redefined, like recession to necessary downturn, crude oil on a beach to moose, civilian death to collateral damages, and being killed by your own army is now called friendly fire. TV is a place where the pursuit of happiness has become the pursuit of trivia, where toothpaste and cars have become sex objects, where imagination is sucked out of children by a cathode ray nipple. TV is the only wet nurse that would create a cripple. Television, the drug of the nation, breeding ignorance, feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation on television. The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
George Orwell's novel, 1984, Winston Smith worked at the Ministry of Truth. But his job was not to ensure that truth was preserved. Quite the contrary. His job was to alter past news stories so that the version of the truth given by the ruling elite, the party, was never contradicted. If the party, which Orwell called Big Brother, lied to the people, a quick check of Winston's altered records, the only remaining records, would prove that the lie was true. Can lies become truth? Could a media system controlled by a few global corporations with the ability to overwhelm all competing voices be able to turn lies into truth? These corporations are not answerable to the people. Only the politicians can regulate them. Could corporations possibly buy politicians with campaign contributions? Contributions so large that the politicians would allow unregulated corporations to go about their business of eliminating less powerful voices until only one voice remained. One truth.
Exactly right.
Believe the wall.